날아오를 듯 힘껏 뛰어 더 높이 오늘이 마지막인 듯 소리 질러 더 멀리 쏟아지는 별빛과 All I dance the night away Let's dance the night away Yeah One, two, three, let's go
굿 이브닝 에브리원, this is Mellow Max and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. It's 7:02 on this lovely Wednesday. What is it? It's December? Oh my god, it's December 6th. Can you believe that? It snowed this morning. Wasn't it summer last week? When did this happen? When did this happen? Behind me right now is Clouds by Reservoir. Really cool jazzy band. Released in 2019. I have an exciting show for you guys. I don't have any terribly notable music in my playlist, except, and this is a big but, I do have an interview coming up at 7:30 with Vero Strange, talking about his new single and some unreleased tracks, so don't go anywhere, it's gonna be a blast, we're gonna have a lot of fun, and if you guys have any questions, feel free to drop them in the DJ chat. I'd be happy to pass them along and ask them in an interview, which will be happening around 7:30. So sit back, relax, enjoy some music until then. And yeah, I'll be talking to you guys soon. Coming up next, the Alan Parsons Project.
I wouldn't wanna be like you. bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right, you're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say. You got a bloody right.
That last song was Abby Roper with a new single called Talking Casually. And our interviewee, our guest later on in the night, is the producer on that song, so I'll be asking him about that as well. And before that, we had Supertramp with Bloody Well Right, and the Alan Parsons Project with I Wouldn't Want to Be Like You. And in addition to, so that's Abby Roper that we just played. Just before the interview, we're going to hear the new single from Vero Strange. That is the artist that I'll be interviewing, a Tufts alum, I might add, and a WMFO alum, might I add again, and a good friend. So looking forward to having Dan on the show. And until then, enjoy the tunes. Coming up next, we're going to have some more new music. Just things that I've stumbled across. I've been listening to a lot of college radio, apart from WMFO. I've been listening to a lot of WERS, which is Emerson, and WMBRM? MIT? I might have gotten that call sign wrong. Right now, you're listening to WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, my favorite college radio station by a long way. It's just, it holds a special place. There's good programming at WMFO. There's great programming at WMFO. Love it here. Behind me right now is Dim Dim with Smart. Very, very peaceful background music. Coming up next, though, we're going to have, let's mix it up. Let's have a High Fructose Corn Syrup come up next by Pax. Found this song this morning, liked it, threw it in the playlist. Hope you guys enjoy.
Good. Strange magic, oh it's a strange magic.
That was just Electric Light Orchestra with Strange Magic. Before that, we had a new song from a New York group called Bodega. The song is Images. Before that, a couple other new songs. We had Cowboy with G-Maps, Gut Health with Inner Norm, and Pax with HFCS, which I believe stands for High Fructose Corn Syrup. I'm currently on the phone with Dan from Vero Strange. We're going to play the brand new Vero Strange single, That's Just Speed, released a week ago today, if I'm not mistaken. First, a quick PSA, then the song, and then we'll get Dan on the air with all of us. If it's broke, why not try fixing it? In the 21st century, when our things break, it's typical to just toss them out into the trash for the landfill and buy replacements. But that can actually waste money and time, as well as harming the environment. A simple sewing kit can cost less than a pair of socks. Mending holes in clothes with a thread and needle can often take just minutes, less time than browsing the web to spend money buying new ones. While some electronic devices are purposely manufactured to be impossible to repair, websites like iFixit.com publish high-quality, detailed repair guides for free. If one of your electronic devices malfunctions, before responsibly disposing of it as e-waste, first track down the owner's manual and see if it has a reset procedure. Often enough, that will do the trick. There should be a comma there. So when something of yours breaks, consider trying to fix it to save you both time and money. Search the internet for instructions, and remember, if you were going to throw it out anyway, you don't have to worry too much about further damaging it. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Coming up next, That's Just Speed by Vero Strange.
Come up short after the hour.
Hello, everyone. This is Mellow Max, and I am now joined by Dan of Vero Strange.
Hey, everybody. Thank you, Max, for having me on.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm so glad that that's working. And you sound great.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. All right.
I don't think anyone would know that this was a phone interview if I didn't say it, but...
Well, it's via FaceTime, but hopefully I set up the microphone correctly. I'm just talking to you. Currently at my studio in Brooklyn and using the best of the best.
Oh, yeah. Fancy microphones for the win.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well,
I can't cut it off. I'm so sorry.
What was that?
I can't stop being a recording engineer. It's not my nature.
Wouldn't expect you to. I do have to ask before we get started. Did it snow this morning in New York?
Actually, it did.
Yeah, it snowed here, too.
Yeah, for... maybe about 45 seconds.
Yeah, a little dusting.
Yeah, but I was grinning ear to ear.
Yeah.
On the walkover. Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was.
All right, let's get things started. Sure. Let's start off just by asking, what genre is Vero Strange?
Oh man, I've been trying to figure that out for the longest time. The easy answer, the easy way out, is probably art rock, but it's a very wide umbrella. It's a genre, a term I'm choosing to use, so I have an excuse to go a bunch of different directions.
Absolutely. It's nice to have freedom, and plus, if you're thinking about rain, a wide umbrella is probably the way to go. Mm-hmm. Most effective. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of umbrellas, the cover for the song, I know this is a radio mm-hmm. show, and it's no visual aspect to it, but the cover of the song is this really strange, funky umbrella from like the English 1970s, which I just sort of took a picture of on the roof, and it worked beautifully.
Yeah, no, I don't
make them like they used to.
They don't. I was admiring that actually, and I was that's one of my you read my mind. I was going to ask you all about that later, but glad to get that answer now. So where'd you find the umbrella?
I think it was actually, it might have been my grandfather's. And it was in storage for many, many, many years, and recently came upon it. So a little bit of family history. Always got to include that.
Yeah.
Respect your elders, respect your ancestors.
For those of you who can't see through our eyes and are too lazy to Google, the cover, it's almost like, it's like bright Technicolor, almost beach ball color. Panels on an umbrella, and it looks really cool. Nice pinwheel kind of thing. Speaking of the 70s, I've seen a couple of write-ups about your new single that call it a throwback and compare it to a number of different artists, from Electric Light Orchestra to David Bowie. So I want to ask, what are your musical influences?
In terms of musical influences, I would say, I know there's only one release out at the moment, but I would say it varies song to song quite a lot. And that's intentional. I, for better or for worse, I wouldn't say that I have a singular influence. Obviously, David Bowie is... That's the one that I always go back to, and other people, when they listen to it, also say. I personally think it may, perhaps it's not about the compositions or the instrumentation of the song, but it's mainly because he was a baritone, I'm a baritone, and we have similar timbres in our voices. I would say that's... David Bowie would be the main one. For later projects, later songs that will come out sometime in the next I would probably say King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizards would be a big influence. Especially when it comes to, you know, kind of microtonal writing, as they did in their album. What was that album?
You're sounding a little bit far away.
Oh, really? Can you hear me now?
Oh, beautiful. A bit better? Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Flying microtonal banana?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Did I get the word order right?
Okay. You did.
Yeah. So for some later songs like that, I would say Flying Microtonal Banana is a big influence. Who knows? The way I sort of write songs is I come up with a playlist, like a private playlist on Spotify, of all the songs that I'm listening to at the moment, and try to mash them all together in this kind of Frankenstein practice and see what comes out of it. No, you will not find those playlists anywhere. They're just for me. They're private, and I don't want to give away the secrets.
Of course.
But yeah, I sort of just try to Frankenstein a bunch of different artists together. and see what comes out of it. It doesn't always work, as is the nature of these things. But yeah.
Yeah. By the way, you're sounding a little bit far away again. So.
Is that better?
Yeah. Yeah. That okay. fixed it again. Yep.
Strange.
Yeah. It's very strange.
Very strange indeed.
Oh, yeah. And so that's my next question, actually. What's the background story of Vero Strange? Where did the name come from?
I would say, is the mic still all right, by the way?
A little bit far away. Not as crystal clear.
Very strange. Okay.
Yeah.
It's,
Vero.
I'm
Vero
like really indeed. Trying to get, I'm trying to figure out which mic is actually coming through. is this better?
I think that might be
worse. Or, okay. Doesn't actually make a difference. Hello?
That's it. That's great.
Oh, okay. All right. So, unfortunately, the nice mic I set up doesn't work. Oh, well. The name of Vero Strange, it's, I mean, it's a pretty classic thing for when you're trying to start a band or a project to come up with a bunch of different names, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you'll have in the order of 25, 50 different names. And that was the one that kind of just stuck. I was asking my drummer at the time, this was before we even knew the name, asking the drummer at the time what he liked best. And without even giving my opinion, we both agreed on Vero Strange. I mean, it's just a play on words, you know, Vero Strange, very strange. And that's what ideally I'd like my music to be at the end of the day. I want it to be very strange. Yeah, it's just a little play on words. Also, Vero, I'm pretty sure in Italian means, I can look this up. It's been a few years since I've spoken Italian. Vero, I think in Italian means truth.
Yes, that is correct. My high school.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
okay.
That is Vero.
You took Italian as well?
I did, yeah. Yeah, that's a really fun thing about growing up in New York. I don't think many other states had Italian in their curriculum.
It's true, yeah. Yeah, but Vero Strange, the truth is strange, was the short skinny of it.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's
cool. It's a bit on the nose, but maybe not.
Well, it might be strange, but truth is strange.
It is.
So what other projects might listeners know you from? Anything notable you want to mention?
Probably the main thing, given... my history with WMFO, with you as well, would be the band World Federal Organization Club, which was a project that I was lucky enough to be in during college at Tufts University with my roommates. And we came out with an album. Unfortunately, that project was cut short both by graduating and also by the 2020 COVID pandemic. We all sort of got booted out, understandably so. But we had that one final amazing gig at the Burren, which I remember very, very well.
And,
yeah, I still look back on those days quite fondly.
Yeah, I think that we both left that show damaged physically. But
oh yeah, I chipped my tooth.
Yeah, and I have a scar from it.
So, oh, that's right. You fell, didn't you?
Yeah, there was a broken glass on the stage, and I was there in the mosh pit. Someone bumped me forward. I tried to brace myself, and I sliced side of my hand on it.
Oh, that was the glass wasn't from.
No, it must have been broken like much earlier in the night, and someone just like rather than bringing me up to the bar and saying like, "Oh, broken glass," they just left it on the stage.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, if that's not an indication of how fun that show was, I don't know what is.
And also, if you chipped your tooth and I got an injury that it was borderline whether or not I should go to the hospital.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe.
Probably. You probably should have gotten stitches for that.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine. I just, I went up to the bar and I was like, "Hey, do you guys have a first aid kit?" And I wrapped it up and then like ran right back out into the pit. And I was like moshing, and then it started bleeding some more. So I went back out, and they're like, "Hey, maybe you shouldn't go back in there." And I was like, "Are you kidding? Do you hear this music? How are you going to keep
Max,
me out of this mosh?"
Such a legend.
oh, shucks.
Jesus.
No, you guys are.
You're
you guys
such
are.
A legend.
How could I do anything but?
You were. I mean, it was always. I mean, there were definitely more than a few stories that we can't say on air.
So, all things considered.
The acronym of World Federal Organization Club is WFOC. I'm not swearing. Just so everybody knows.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But all things considered, if we both left that first gig injured, maybe it's not an awful thing that was the last gig.
Yes.
You know, as much as it hurts me to say that, because I would have loved to have seen more WFOC gigs.
Would have loved to play them.
Yeah. But if that's the injuries that we sustained at the first one,
that wasn't the first.
Well, no, the first in like a public venue.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because you'd played many times at the Crane Room and other Tufts.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, and you did that basement show where you opened up for the Q-Tip Bandits. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That one's
on YouTube. Really if anyone wants to dig really deep.
Oh, yes, it is. That was in Austin, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was in one of those Austin basements.
Austin, I will say, I mean, there's plenty of gigging opportunities in New York, but nothing quite compares to Austin basement shows.
Mm-hmm.
They're legendary for a reason, and we don't have basement shows here. Well, maybe we do. If anybody knows of any, please let me know. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, or yeah, is there much of a DIY type scene in New York's in Brooklyn? I mean, I'm sure that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah, definitely. I would say it's more, from my limited experience, it's more reserved for DIY venues, but they're still venues.
Yeah.
They're still legit venues with subwoofers and, you know, PA, you know, good PA systems. So,
yeah,
yeah.
So it's like they live in a city that gives out an appropriate number of licenses and has proper residential versus non-residential zoning.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Oh, Boston. Yep. Oh, Boston. We love you, but why why are you so stingy with liquor licenses?
Indeed.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So after that bit of reverie, how would you say that Vero Strange differs from your previous musical endeavors?
Well, if we're comparing it specifically to World Federal Organization Club, that was first and foremost a synth rock band. I still am influenced by those songs. Actually will eventually take some unreleased World Federal Organization. It's a mouthful. Am I allowed to say? I'm just going to say.
Yeah, you can say WFOC.
I already cleared that. I will take some WFOC songs and rebrand them as Vero Strange songs in the future, which I'm very much looking forward to. But far less synthy, far more throwback like. I would say, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
As the write-ups have said themselves. And also, since the previous projects, I have been lucky enough to become part of a studio and learn all about producing, recording, and there's probably a quality difference. Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, you know, and I've heard you say this before, and you've criticized WFOC's mixing, and I gotta say, the mix holds up from what I've heard. I think that
it does. Gus, who did I'm pretty sure all of the mixing, the full brunt of it, we all gave notes to him, but it's not. It still holds up, you're correct, but we were mixing it in a dorm room, you know, with some random speakers, and didn't have any proper knowledge, or, you know, we did the best for the time. Gus, and he did a bang-up job, definitely.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's benefits to having some nice microphones, that's all I can say.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so speaking of recording, earlier in my radio show, Tonight I played Abby Roper's Talking Casually, which you mixed. Yes. And yes. I wanted to ask, how different is the process when you're mixing your own music versus someone else's?
I would say it's a lot easier to mix for other people because the criticality you have when you approach somebody else's baby composition is just the right level, as opposed to the criticality you possess when you approach your own baby, which is hypercritical. And in recording and mixing, the key is to be objective, not subjective. As a listener, you're always going to be subjective, but as an engineer, you have to maintain some kind of objectivity. And that's difficult very much with your own music. It's less difficult with your friend's music that, you know, if you produce it. And often I find it yields a better result. Yeah, it definitely yields a better result.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's always easier to criticize your own work. You're always going to find little flaws that other people are going to just...
Yeah, you just get quite tripped up with your own stuff, which is why it takes me so many months to make one song, which probably isn't a good thing, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. And so, speaking of Abby Roper, you've also been playing bass on tour with them. Where have you been? Do you have any fun stories to share? And how's that been?
Got a few fun stories. I was their backup bassist. I will say first and foremost, their main bassist, Miguel, absolute legend. But I was just filling in for the gigs that he couldn't make at the time because he was busy doing other gigs. So I think I went to, where did we go? We went to Pittsburgh. North Carolina, Alabama, and ended up in Atlanta, which I didn't actually play that Atlanta show, but I was there for it, hanging out with my cousin. And in terms of stories, I mean, it was probably one of the best experiences I've had. I've never done touring before, and it was thanks to Nicotine Dolls, who was the band that we were opening for, was an incredibly professional and wholesome experience. Yeah.
That's great.
In terms of funny stories, I mean, Sam, the lead singer for Nicotine Dolls, is one of the funniest guys I think I've ever met in my life. He's just constant, you know, in the green room, constantly... it's hard to describe. If anybody goes and sees a show of theirs, you'll know what I mean. It sort of has to be experienced to be believed. There was this one time, and I think it was when we were in Alabama, where one of the musicians from Nicotine Dolls walks in before our show and goes, "Hey, I don't think you guys should go outside if you can help it, because we just witnessed a robbery of the dollar store next door."
Oh my God.
And we were like, "Really? Like a real robbery?" And they were like, "Yeah, real robbery." Apparently it was a dollar store. This was coming up on Halloween weekend as well. A few guys came in, just picked up display cases of candy in each arm. And just walked out. It was a very chill robbery. It wasn't like it wasn't a violent. It was a non-violent robbery, in fact. And it was just for candy. So, you know, yeah.
Well, I guess that's.
And we were like, "Wow, oh my gosh."
Better than a violent one.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah.
But, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yep. It's 7:57. We have plenty of time. Don't you worry. We're on till nine. We got a whole nother hour if we want. I do want to play some of your music. But first, okay. I'm gonna do my. This is Mellow Max. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Reform Radio. I'm joined by. Am I joined by Vero Strange or am I joined by Dan from Vero Strange?
That's up to you.
I'm joined.
Whatever sounds better in the soundbite.
Let's say that I'm joined by Vero Strange.
Sure.
Yeah.
And also my name's Dan.
Yeah. So let's get into That's Just Speed. I'm gonna ask you a couple questions, then I want to listen to it, and then we're gonna go right into another song that you sent me, which is unreleased. Ooh, I should have a soundboard. I need sound effects. But exactly. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I really like this other. I mean, I like both of the songs that you sent me that are separate from That's Just Speed, and we will get to them if I have your permission. Later in the
absolutely.
Heck yeah!
Didn't we already play That's Just Speed though?
We did, but I want to. I mean, it's up to you. I want to ask some questions
God bless.
Yeah, and then we'll listen to it, and then we'll have the next one.
Okay, sure.
So and yeah, but I mean, you know, actually, maybe I'll start asking you these questions and play it in the background quietly.
Sure.
Cool. Yeah. Let's do that. Aux 1. All right, there we go. Cool. What led you to choose That's Just Speed as your first single release?
That song has been written for quite a while now. And it was, it had a recording at one time, but due to severe hard drive collapse, it never got released. And it just felt, it was a song that I was very familiar with since I probably wrote it like a year and a half ago, something like that. So for me, being the person who records and mixes it all, it was a very good jumping off point.